You know, as we were singing, I just was thinking about that phrase, I give him glory. And I was just kind of in my head just processing giving glory to God. And have you ever been to the Grand Canyon or some place that was so beautiful and so majestic that you just stopped and thought, whoa, that it was almost terrifying? It was so, like, I don't know if you ever looked over the Grand Canyon. It's like terrifying. You're like, whoa, wow, that's big. Do you know that I think that's what's going to happen the moment that we see God face to face? It's going to be that kind of feeling, that whoa, that glory that we will give. That moment of awe when you're standing in front of the Grand Canyon, that's like you're giving it glory. You're acknowledging the glory. Do you know that's who we abide with? That one? That God of all creation, the master of the universe, that he created everything and yet he knows our hearts, knows you. You know, today I pray that we can measure our spiritual growth. It's easy to measure our waistlines, isn't it? It's easy to measure our hairlines. Well, it's easier for some. It's easy to measure, maybe if you go to the gym, hey, look how big my biceps have gotten. That's never happened to me, but I've heard some people that do that. But you know, it's hard to measure spiritual growth. When it comes to your spiritual growth, sometimes that's something we neglect. And how important it is to measure spiritual growth and to evaluate, are we growing up spiritually? You know, so often we focus too much on the physical. I remember raised our kids, my son's baseball team. He was a little league, and there was some guys on our team that I was trying to witness to, the dads on the team. And one of the dads would say to me, you know, my son, I'm just going to let him figure out spiritual things on his own. I'm not going to try to influence him. I was like, well, I'm not doing that. That's a dumb idea. I mean, we were close. I could say that's a dumb idea to him. And I was like, that's a dumb idea. Without apology, I said to my kids, I want to influence you spiritually. I want you to invest in the spiritual. And we saw from this text today in John 15, keep your Bibles open there because I want to look at this today, the importance, the gravity of spiritual growth. And as you look at this passage, it's important for us to measure growth, and where growth is most evident, where it takes place, is when you abide with the Lord. You abide with him. As we move into this time in our church, as I prayed through and I've written, like I've wrestled through this fall like six times. I've rewritten what we're going to preach on, and I'm, you know, it's just been so much transition. So this has been a season that I've looked at passages that help me refocus, I think will help us refocus. And John 15 is a very important refocus moment in Scripture. And let's look at it. And as you look at this passage, if you're taking notes today, the first note I want you to just pour into you, the first thing I think is important about abiding in Christ, and he's the vine and we're the branches. Well, it's this idea of being born again. Being born again, that's the moment in time when your personal relationship with God begins. This is an important moment for us. Have you been born again? That moment in life when you were, you know, born spiritually. Jesus started the controversy with this in John chapter 3. It's a famous part of Scripture when Jesus ran into Nicodemus. Nicodemus was this theologian that was the Michael Jordan of theology of his day. He is the best basketball player. He's better than LeBron, if you wanted to know that. But he is, Nicodemus was this theological heavyweight. And yet he runs into Jesus, God with skin on. So when you look at John 3 and that dialogue, it was really a collision of the greatest theological heavyweight that we know about in Nicodemus. And Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He's like, what? I don't get it. And he's like, come on, you're better than this. You should know this, Nicodemus. And he uttered that famous passage that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, you know this. You need to be born again. And to be born again, that to be born, we understand this, it marks a moment in time when you were physically entering the world. I mean, my sweet granddaughter's back here, Clara Jane. She was born 3 years and 3 minutes away from her sister, Conley. It was a specific moment in time when she was born. To be born again is a specific moment in time when you were born again. You had a 1 Peter 2:10 moment. 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So have you been born again? That's the moment you are attached to the vine. You are connected to the vine. And this week, oh my goodness, we had a wonderful testimony last Sunday night, and I met with Henry this week. Henry Bodden is a senior adult in our church, and he told his testimony to a group of guys that we were with on Thursday morning. And he was not a believer, and he goes to Israel with his wife because she wanted to go to Israel. And he's like, okay, I'm wrestling with this. And he's in Israel, and he's realizing gradually that, oh, Jesus is real. He really walked, and he talked about being in the upper room. He was in the upper room, and they were singing with this group of people. They were all singing, Alleluia. And he's standing in the upper room in Jerusalem, and he says, I believe in you. God, I believe in you. And that was the moment he was saved. He was born again. He goes, I know it. I was born again in that moment. Have you been born again? Look at this passage, verse 1. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So what he's talking about is when you're connected with the vine, when you're there, he's going to grow you. He's going to, you're connected to the vine. He's going to strengthen you. And you know, sometimes people look at this passage and go, look, you can lose your salvation. No, you can't. He's talking about that once you're connected with the vine, what God's going to do in you, he's going to prune you. He'll never leave you. You can't detach yourself from the vine. Look at the next phrase. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Right there, he's going, look, guys, he's talking to his disciples. You're already clean. He's about to go to the cross. He's trying to help them understand the gravity of salvation, the magnitude of salvation. Already you're clean, guys. Once you're born again, your sins are washed away. You're clean. But then he looks at them and he says something very important. Notice this, abide in me and I in you. Those are very important concepts. He pushes us to abide in Christ, but then he makes a disclaimer, look, I'm in you. This is what happens when you're saved, when you're born again. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He is in you. He leads you. He protects you. He guides you. He strengthens you. He moves in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. He's helping the disciples understand, look, a branch doesn't leave the vine. It doesn't bear fruit by itself. You stay connected, guys. He's looking at the men and women that are around him. You stay connected to me. Abide in me. He says, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He's trying to help them understand that it's not about religion. It's about this relationship that begins. That's what Nicodemus was wrestling with. He's like, look, I'm the religious of the religious. I'm the best. He was the best of them all, the leader of them all. And he came to recognize, I've not been born again. I've missed it. And then now the disciples are here, learning of the value of abiding in Christ. He says, look, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and to be burned. He's saying, look, that you need to understand this. Trying to live on your own without me, it's pointless. It's worthless. Have you been born again? Oh, I pray that that's your story. I pray there's a moment that you've put your faith in Christ, that you've trusted in Christ. But let's go on. Because you see that being born again is the beginning, but abiding with the Lord is the path to bearing fruit. You see that this is clearly in the text. Abiding with the Lord is the path to bearing fruit. So what does it mean to abide with the Lord? Well, I brought this. Y'all know what this is? It's a jack stand. It wasn't this one, but it was one like it. When I was young, my dad was an auto mechanic. And my dad would say to me as a young boy, I don't even remember how old I was. I was young. Chris, come on. We're going out the garage. We went out to the garage, and he goes, okay, we got to change the oil in the car. And we're going to jack this car up. And let me show you. This is the frame of the car. When you jack it up, you put it right here. And then this jack stand, this is your friend. But I want you to understand this jack stand. You got to put it right here. Because if the car falls on you, son, that's a bad day. That's a bad day. And you got to, let me show you how to do this. He jacked it up. We placed the jack stands in a specific place. And then we lowered the car, then we changed the oil, and then we dumped it across the street in the grass. Anybody ever do that? Sorry. Somebody in Moore, Oklahoma is going to think they struck oil, and it's this Valvoline from about 30 years of oil. But it's fine. Grass grows there. If you're offended, I'm sorry. It's just, my dad did it. I did it too. But I don't do it anymore, just full confession. But you know what I was doing with my dad? You know what I was doing? I was abiding with him. I was abiding. Abiding with the Lord is not just Bible study, that's part of it. But abiding with the Lord is experiential. It's walking with the Lord through all of life. Through the daily. And I don't want us to miss what abiding with the Lord looks like. And in this passage, you see some very clear evidence of what it looks like, what you can measure if you're abiding with the Lord. Now, it begins with a relationship with him. That was my dad. He was there when I was born. I knew him. I was walking with him. But then it was lessons and experiences and correction and vacations and athletics and normal things that I've forgotten or remember at random moments. But I was abiding with him. You know what I call it, and this isn't on the screen or anything, but it's that as you go time, as you go with the Lord. That's what abiding is. It's as you go, as you experience the Lord, as you walk with him. That's what abiding is. And you can measure this. And I want to tell you, if you're abiding with the Lord, this passage just reveals some things, some evidence of that. And look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Notice that. when you're abiding with the Lord, one thing to measure is God's word, the word of God comes out of you. If you're abiding with the Lord, you can look and evaluate, is God's word coming out of me? Yesterday, I had a beautiful picture of this. There's a couple in our church that, the Vandervers, and she went in for a fairly routine surgery, and there were just massive complications. And she's been in ICU, and it was very difficult, and oh my goodness, it was very critical. She's doing better now. But I went up there to see her yesterday, and her husband said, Chris, here are some verses that we're standing on. And he quotes two verses that they're just holding on to. It was a beautiful picture of God's word coming out of them in this massive storm, this unexpected shift, this moment of, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And it was God's word coming out of them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, this is something you should measure. We should measure. Does God's word come out of us? The word of God is like a sword. Ephesians chapter 6 says that the word of God is, in 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul is using the Roman soldier as an example, and he says the soldier has a sword, and we have the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. There are two swords that come to our minds from Roman culture that if you've seen movies or thought about it, there's the long sword that is like huge that they would use, but there's also the short sword. It's 18 inches long, and it was used for close combat. When Paul is writing Ephesians 6, and he talks about the word of the Lord, it's a beautiful picture. It's that short sword that's used for up close and personal combat. Well, that's what the word of God is for us. In the battle of life, in the spiritual battle that we are in, he uses his word for close combat. In Hebrews 4:12, a famous verse, for the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. And God's word is so powerful, it gets to the heart of the issues for us. It hits our heart. It helps us get rid of all excuses, and it moves us, transforms us. And so, does the word of God come out of you? This is why God's word is authoritative for us. It's an authority for us. This is why we work to read it. We study it. We meditate on it. This is why every ministry in our church on a weekly basis has the mandate to not just give TED Talks, but to be in the Word. Let God's Word speak. Let God's Word stand. And you know what? We don't apply it by ourselves. We're not Lone Ranger Christians. Do y'all know who the Lone Ranger is? Some of you younger people don't know who the Lone Ranger is. Well, the Lone Ranger was the Lone Ranger. That's who he was, if you don't know that. That was deep, wasn't it? Whew, I really cleared it up for you. But you know, we're not meant to serve the Lord by ourselves. We're to be in a body. We're to be in a group. And this is why I love this day. I love it that we're like tight and close. That's the way church is supposed to be, close. But the word of God comes out of you. That's something to measure. If you're abiding in Christ, if you're abiding with him, his word will come out of you. There's a second thing. If you're abiding with Christ, and you see it in verse 7, that your prayers will flow both directions. This is very important with prayer. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Let's think about that. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Well, let's understand what Jesus is saying here. He is not my, as I abided with my dad, there were times that were instructional like the oil. There were times that it was, no, Chris, you can't have that. You know, but let's understand, my abiding with my Father was two ways. It wasn't just one way. And we often miss the opportunity to pray. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It's not that God's going to give me everything I want. There are times I've prayed for things, and the answer was no. There are times that that I had to think about why the answer was no. And some answers, I won't know the answer till I get to heaven. But one of the things I've come to recognize that this prayer is fascinating because it's communication with God. And communication goes two ways. I've learned that in my marriage. I don't just talk to my wife. I listen as well. That's fairly valuable. That's been valuable. Prayer is the same way. In our prayer guide, there's a very important practice that we're pushing our church to, and it's the idea of yielding to the Lord. You listen. Listen in prayer. And so often we are distracted with things that we don't listen to the Lord, and that's not what prayer is. Through prayer, I don't know who said this the first time. It's a famous trifecta, I guess, or trilogy, or three things. Through prayer, we come to see the Lord's hand uniquely. I come to understand His hand in a unique way. I come to know the Lord's heart specifically through prayer. I come to understand the Lord's will directly through prayer. You know, and this is what prayer does. Prayer is one of the greatest ways, greatest gifts to know the Lord, to abide with Him. So I think it's something to measure. Are you just praying for your meals? That's not bad. But are you just are you growing in your prayer? That's part of abiding with the Lord. I think back of the times that I was wrestling with the Lord in prayer. We did an event with our singles, older singles, the other day, and Robin and I were the entertainment, which I'm not sure how entertaining it was, but we sang and stuff. And we did this two truths and a lie with everybody. And so here were my two truths and a lie. I said, I got dumped by a beauty queen. I baptized Billy Graham. And my mother-in-law was an incredible basketball player. So which one's the lie? Huh? Well, y'all were there. Y'all cheated. Y'all were there. So how many of you thought I didn't baptize Billy Graham? I totally baptized Billy Graham. She was a wonderful lady. I told her when I baptized her, I said, you know what, Billy? I'm so grateful I get to baptize you today. I'm going to put this on my resume for the rest of my life. I'm going to tell people I baptized Billy Graham. And she's an 80-year-old lady at Council Road, and this is just a sweet moment, and I got to baptize her. It was awesome. But yeah, Robin did dump me. She was a beauty queen. She won Miss National Teenager. She met George Bush in the Oval Office, George Bush Sr. in the Oval Office. And right after that, she gave me the big old boot. And I was known at OBU, oh, you're the tennis player that got dumped by the beauty queen. And I was like, yeah, that's me. But you know, I was sad about it because I wanted to marry Robin way before she wanted to marry me. And from the very beginning of meeting her, every time she walked in the room, I noticed her. And when she broke up with me, I was like, oh, Lord, have I missed you? I'll never forget going to Andy Taylor's wedding. He was one of my roommates. He was a pastor in Tulsa. And I was driving to Andy's wedding to Dallas, and I'm just wrestling with the Lord. Lord, did I miss you? Lord, how am I not supposed to marry Robin? And I wrestled with the Lord there and back. And I had to wait. It was good to wait. But then God answered a prayer. And you know what? That was one of those moments that I learned to wrestle with the Lord in prayer and trust Him. Don't miss the blessing of prayer. It's two-way. It's part of abiding with him. And measure that. There's another way. You see it in this passage. That growing obedience is measurable in your life. If you're abiding with the Lord, growing obedience is measurable. Look at verse 8. But this is my father. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Notice this. God expects us to grow where we're planted. God expects this as a church to do that. God expects you to grow up spiritually. This is an expectation of God. And we should not miss this according to Scripture. He says, it's God's glorified when you bear much fruit and you prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now notice the salvation foundation has already been laid. It's not about being saved. But because you're saved, we work not for our salvation, but from it, from our salvation. And God very clearly moves us to keep abiding with him, to stay close to him. And growing obedience should be evident in your life. Growing obedience in your Bible study, in knowing what God's word says. This is why we're to be diligent in these things. Growing obedience in our giving. It's right to give, not because God needs your money. God's people are very well resourced. Very well resourced. But God moves us to give to help us learn to trust him, especially as we are navigating life in American culture where the love of money is a very real thing. And we are to give because it's a good discipline for us. It moves us. It's right for us to do this. Prayer, the fruit of the Spirit, we know this, are growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. Galatians 5, the one fruit of the Spirit is what grows in us. These are things to measure. Obedience is something to think about. It's like I always tease that I married into the Baptist Von Trapp family. If you know my family, I mean, they are like, it's like people say, is your life like a musical? I'm like, kind of. I mean, and our kids grew up singing, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N. Y'all know that song? Oh. We sang it all the time. Grow in obedience. But lastly, you see, abiding in Christ. I'm going to jump to not to 1 John, because this is a very clear evidence of how you can abide with the Lord. Accountable relationships are present. Do you know to abide with the Lord, there needs to be accountable relationships in your life? 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, one of the things that's popular nowadays in the church is a misunderstanding of church. It's popular to say, oh, we're part of the Big C Church. That is true. That is true. We are a part of the Big C Church all over the world. Do you know how God intends us to flesh out our faith? Is in the local church. Because it's in the local church that we know each other, that there's accountability. You know, the other day, Andrew's just made it in. He spoke today in students. And, you know, the other day, Andrew saw me riding in my truck. I was driving down 96th Street. And there was a passenger in my truck. And he thought, huh, Chris is driving with another woman. Because that's not Robin's hair. I know what Robin's hair looks like. That's not Robin's hair. And, you know, we have a rule among our staff that we don't, like, I have a rule. I don't ride with another woman by myself other than a family member. He's like, it's not Emily. What's he doing? He knows better than that. He starts following me down 96th Street. He's following me. And I don't know that he's following me. I'm driving down 96th Street. I pull up in the parking lot of the church. And Andrew gets out of his car. And he's this electric car that he's got that I always make fun of him for. But he gets out. And he's like, oh. Christian gets out on the other side. He saw the hair sticking up, and he thought it was another woman. I was like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, oh, man. I was like, what? What are you talking about? He goes, oh, I thought you had another woman in your car. I was like, I'm telling that story in church sometime. As soon as I can, I'm going to tell that story. But I thought, I thought about that. And we had a meeting a little bit later, a few days later, and I said, you know, Andrew, thank you. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he would follow me and get out to confront me. And then I can make fun of him for years about this. This is gold. It's gold. But church is supposed to be accountable. So let's recognize this. Let's make sure we're on track to growth. Where God's word comes, well, first of all, you know Christ. In fact, it's just kind of a weird place, weird day, so we're not going to have a come forward today. But I do want to ask you to bow your head right where you are. Just bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to think about this question, and we're going to give you a moment to think about it. And we're going to try our best in the day of distraction and you know, phones and, you know, scrolling and all those things. I want you to ask yourself this question or think back of when you were born again. Time of silence is so very valuable. If you're not certain about that, do you know that's why we're here? That's why God planted our church here, so that people would know that they're born again. If you're not certain about that, before you leave, our staff's going to be here. Many of you, you definitely go, oh, Lord, I remember. I remember. So now we're going to have another little moment to just listen to the Lord. Are you abiding in Christ daily? Process God's word and just let's have a moment. You go to the Lord on that right now. Okay, so we're going to do two more. This passage tells us that the fruit proves that you're his disciple. I want you to just bow your head and think through the fruit that you see in your life that gives evidence that you're a disciple. Just think through that. Pray through that. Okay, lastly, I want you to think through the accountable relationships that are in your life. And just think through those. And as you do, I want you to know they're already present. And it's a lot of them are in this room, in this body. Thank the Lord and commit to the Lord interaction with those right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for allowing us to be a church. We get to see so many examples of your word coming out of one another. Through trials, through successes, through good seasons, bad seasons, through ups and downs, mountaintops and valleys. I thank you for how your word prepares us for the future. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to abide with you. Those as-we-go moments, that we get to abide with one another. I thank you, Lord, for the disciplines that we're growing in and that those that we realize we need to grow. Thank you for that knowledge, the correction. Thank you, Lord, for the accountable relationships that we get to have to push one another and spur one another on, to encourage one another, to walk together. Father, for those that maybe have discovered today that they haven't been born again, thank you, Lord, for that knowledge. Thank you, Lord, for salvation that has come to us. The new birth that you've given to us. Surely, Lord, when we see your glory, we will be in awe. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our church. In Jesus' name we pray.